talk to who's graduated from law school, they understand what I'm saying because you get taught to think a way that maybe isn't quite as emotional as you might think if you hadn't spent a lot of time reading law. But I just like the way it taught me to think. It taught me how to organize my brain, how to organize my thoughts, and I really have always appreciated that from it. I didn't always love practicing law, but I did love, I do like the way it made me think.
So, with that in mind, you've mentioned a lot of your own college experiences and your family's college experiences. What kind of role do you see education playing in a person's life?
I think that there are many people for whom a college education is a wonderful thing. However, I don't think we should be pushing everyone to graduate from college. I think we need all the people. We need the welders. We need the car mechanics. We need a lot of people to do a lot of things in this life. Electricians. I mean, I could go on forever. And do they need some sort of education? Yes. But I think we really need to look more at things like BOCES. And when I was growing up, if you went to BOCES, you were, which is Board of Cooperative I don't even know what it's the local sort of trade school in high school. But if you went to BOCES, you were not thought very highly of. It was just, it was not something that people aspired to, at least most of the people that I knew, who most of us went to college. But I think we need a lot more trade education in the United States. And I think pushing college for everyone is a mistake. I have some pretty strong thoughts about high school education. I did take all of my algebra, geometry, trigonometry. I never used trig, I don't think once after I got out of college or out of high school. I did use my algebra, and probably the best use of my algebra was when my grandson was in seventh grade and he really was not doing well. And he actually came to live with me for part of the year, and we did algebra every night. And I learned how to do, I relearned how to do all of that. And when he passed seventh grade math, I thought I'd done a real job because I had remembered all that. But I think we don't teach kids in high school things about life. We don't teach them how to balance a checkbook. We don't even teach them how to sign their name. And I had to teach my grandchildren how to do their signature when we wanted to open bank accounts. They don't learn cursive, so they don't learn how to write their name. The bank will not accept their signature as a printed signature. So we don't teach them how to balance a checkbook. We don't teach them to understand if you get that credit card that you have to pay it back and how much it's going to cost you in interest. There's so much about life that we don't teach kids, just basic survival skills from my point of view of how to manage your money. What does it mean? What does compounded interest mean? What is a mortgage and how do you get a mortgage and what does a mortgage really cost you? And all the things that we don't teach kids. And I think we need to teach more of that in high school because not everybody goes to college. Not everybody takes an accounting course. And I made my kids take accounting courses, but I think our high school, not many kids use trigonometry. There are probably a few. But I don't think we teach life skills in a way that we should.
So has that changed from when you were going to school?
Sure. I mean, we had typing class. We had home economics. The boys had shop. I think there was a little more emphasis on. I know they do computer class now, which is sort of, I mean, you can. But there were business classes in high school, and I just don't see much of that. I mean, we're so tied up with Regents classes and so many maths and so much foreign language. And I mean, I'm not sorry I took 3 years of Latin and 7 years of French. I'm not sorry I did that, but I'm not sure that's for everybody. And I think that some of the courses that we should be teaching are different. Not that I ever used that 7 years of French, mind you, but I'm not sorry I did it. And the Latin has always been very... The Latin between the law and also... I was a paramedic at one point, so that I used a lot of those words that you get from Latin, both in medicine and in law. But I'm pretty sure there are a lot of kids who didn't need that stuff and might have done better with more practical things in life.
So how do you foresee Cooperstown changing in the next, say, 20 years?
Well, the population of the village has been declining. I don't know for sure, but I would bet that the population of the village is graying. When I was a kid, every family had 3, 4, 5, 6 kids. All of us. I mean, if I went through and named all the families that I grew up around, everybody had 3, 4, 5. It wasn't unusual to have 6 kids. Now the families have fewer kids. The school population is definitely decreasing. Population in the village limits is decreasing, although there's a lot of building around the lake and in places. There certainly is a population that wasn't there when I was a kid. But I think the school is going to have to become very creative about programming because the population of children is not going to grow. I think another problem that we have is housing. And that's a problem we have because the Dreams Park has brought all these families to Cooperstown in the summer, and they want to rent a house or an apartment or whatever for a week. And the amount of money that people can make renting a house in the summer, and now the Dreams Park is 13 weeks, so you get 13 weeks of very high rentals, which is far more than you can make if you rent to most working people or students in Cooperstown who want to be there year-round. The hospital has a hard time with housing for, not for the doctors. The doctors have places to stay. But for people who come in as nurses and techs and people who work all through the hospital, there's no real good housing in Cooperstown anymore. And I think Cooperstown's going to have to face something about some sort of affordable housing in order to keep the hospital staffed and all the other places that you know, are not huge salaries. Clerks to work on Main Street. I mean, people to work in the village have to have affordable housing. And there's not a lot of it. I'm pretty sure you could talk to a lot of the students about that, and they found it difficult. Everybody wants them out so they can start renting to the Dreams Park in May, and they want to rent to the Dreams Park through August or even early through Labor Day. So I think housing is a big problem. Year-round housing is a big problem. I think that's something the village is going to have to look at more. They instituted the parking fees to park in Cooperstown, and that has really helped in terms of the maintaining the streets, because frankly the streets were getting to be pretty awful, and some of them still are, but they've done a lot of work on infrastructure. And I think with the revenue from paid parking, that's a huge amount of money that I think can be put into our infrastructure in the village, and that's a good thing. I don't see, you know, most of the east side of the lake is owned by the Clark family. I don't see that going into development anytime soon, but, you know, you never know what's going to happen with all that undeveloped property over there. So I don't think that's going to happen in the next 20 years, but I think that we're going to have to see some really innovative thinking about the school, especially, because the population is going down every year.
So, in the time that we have left, tell me a little bit about why Cooperstown feels like it's home to you. Because you've mentioned you wanted to come back home. You've mentioned that it's kind of a central place for your family. Why is that?
Well, I grew up here with grandparents, parents. My father had a business here. My mother was very much, my mother was, Camp Minnetaska was the Girl Scout camp on the east side of the lake. My mother was on the board of Minnetaska. I went to Minnetaska for years. Growing up in Cooperstown, although we sometimes thought, oh, this is pretty sleepy, I want to get out of here because there's not much going on. But really, when you got right down to it, between the gym, the ski tow, school activities, we had a lot. I went to boarding school, which was in a town of 500 people, which was really in the middle of nowhere. But we very rarely even went off campus. And I actually went to Elmira thinking, oh, this will be interesting. I'll go to a city and see what living in a small city is like. I didn't love it. I actually did part of my, I did 4 years of college there, and I was a sociology psychology major. And I did my internship in the Elmira City Police Department. And that was pretty eye-opening for a kid who really lived in a place where there wasn't much going on in terms of crime or police or anything. I mean, the police department was next door to my house, so I sort of grew up with them around. But I did an internship with the Elmira City Police Department, and it really opened my eyes to a lot of things, most of which I had no interest in continuing. But I moved home. My sister died in September of 72. And my mom was really not doing well. She was pretty upset. And my younger sister was here, a senior in high school. And she was kind of getting a raw deal. I mean, my mother just was so, she was so depressed, it was really difficult. And I moved home because I really felt I needed to be here. But it wasn't like it was awful. I mean, it wasn't like I didn't want to be here, but it was probably the impetus to move me out of Elmira back home was the loss of my sister. And the other thing was I lived in Elmira on June 23rd of 1972 when Hurricane Agnes came through. We had water up to the ceiling in our house. Up to the first floor ceiling. Elmira, at that point, after the flood, was just awful. I mean, it was just not a nice place to be. My job was, the bank that I worked was flooded and gone, and it was just not a nice place to be. So I didn't really want to be there anymore. And I came home because I realized what a great place it was for a kid to grow up. You know, my daughter, little kid, she's out on a bicycle out in front of the library building saying, "Hi, my name's Beth. What's your name?" And, you know, it was just, it was home. And it's been home ever since. Although I do escape to Vero Beach, Florida in the winter sometimes.
All right. In the time that we have left, do you want to talk a little bit about your sister? You've mentioned her, your older sister who passed away.
My older sister she went to Cooperstown High School. She went to the Northfield School for Girls. She was, then she went to Connecticut College. She was diagnosed with cancer in October of 1971. And she lived until September of 1972. So it was a tough time.
So what have your other siblings done? Do they still live in the area?
No, my brother went to Albany Law School. I had a long career at the Attorney General's office in Albany. He's now retired. His wife still works at the Attorney General's office in Albany. My younger sister, she went to Yale, and then she went to NYU and got her MBA, and she was a certified CPA. when her they lived in Scar, she and her husband lived in Scarsdale, and when her oldest child was born, she retired, and she's never worked at a paying job. She's done a lot of volunteer work over her years. They live in, well, they left Scarsdale and moved to Dallas, where when they had small children, and then they moved to Seattle, and she's done a lot of volunteer work in Seattle. She did a lot with the Mercer Island High School Band and various activities that her children were involved in, and still lives in Mercer Island. She and I just came back, well, came back. I came back to Cooperstown. She went back to Seattle. But we were just in Austin, Texas, a couple of weeks ago, going to the Formula One U.S. Grand Prix in auto racing. So, and we went to Montreal in May last year. So we try to plan, the two of us try to plan our trips together so we can do stuff together. And it's a lot of fun.
That's neat. So how do your siblings feel about Cooperstown? Do they often come back to visit?
Well, my sister made a very large effort to come back two or three times a year when my parents were alive. Her husband's family have a beautiful place up on Lake George, and so they come back to Lake George actually Bolton Landing, but it's on Lake George, the village of Bolton Landing. They come back there every summer. We often go up there. Sometimes they come down here. They'll come down and go to the opera. So, one of my sister's closest friends was Ellen Tillipaw, who's now the mayor of Cooperstown. But Noe likes to come back and see Ellen and a few other people. My brother lives in Albany. As I said, he's retired from the AG's office, and he comes back. He still has friends who live here, you know, it's not far from Albany, so he comes over. Everybody came more when my parents were alive. I mean, we always had these huge holidays at my parents' house when my parents were alive, but that has changed.
So, is there anything else you feel you want people to know about Cooperstown that you would like to share?
Well, as I say, I think it was a pretty idyllic place to grow up. I mean, we really were, and all my friends who still live here, we all consider ourselves very, very fortunate to have grown up here and to have been, as I say, involved in so many things. I mean, the gym was there, and now, of course, there's the brand new sports center, which is pretty fabulous, but even as the old gym, when we were kids, it was still fun. And the gym was there. We had the ski tow. We had all sorts of activities. Dancing class. I mean, not that some of the people love dancing class, but we all went because we were expected to. And we just had a really nice childhood. And I don't think I realized that until I was much older, how much different my childhood was. And that's not to say that, I mean, I still went to work when I was 16. I worked in my father's store when I was 14, you know. It wasn't that we didn't work and we didn't have responsibility, but we also just plain had a lot of opportunities and a lot of different opportunities to do different things. And I think that was really important.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. I really enjoyed getting to interview you.
Well, it was kind of fun.
All right, thank you.